wake up. There's no sleeping in on Saturday. It's time for the Paul Santos Show on WBSM. Join Paul as he tackles local issues, current events, and fun conversations. Call 508-996-0500 or send Paul an app chat message on the WBSM app. Hey, hey, hey. Now, here's Paul Santos. What you
got to say? All right, we have a bonus hour today. Ken Pittman is off. So I'm going to be here for one more hour until 10 a.m. And then we've got the Best of Howie, followed by the retirement show, Jose Matos, and then Brian Thomas, the libertarian, the caller said. And he is on from 1 to 4 with Freedom Fools. So if you want to jump in, 508-996-0500. Got some things queued up over here. You know, I'm hearing in the news there about all these plane crashes, and I'm thinking to myself, if that had happened like a couple of years ago, you know, you'd be hearing, oh, this administration is so incompetent. You know, there's plane crashes all over the place. You know, I mean, Pete Buttigieg doesn't know what he's doing. You know, there was another train crash. You know, so that's all we heard, right? So now these plane crashes all over the place and there's like crickets, you know what I mean? What about Hesketh? What's he doing about it, you know? Now we had that terrible murder, you know, of the Israeli people, you know, that terrible murder that happened in Washington, D.C. Oh, how come the Homeland Security isn't being blamed? You know what it would be if it was the other way around. Oh, where's Homeland Security? She must be sleeping at the switch. She doesn't know what habeas corpus is. You know, she's going around taking photo ops. So, you know, again, you know, when something bad happens, the tendency is to look who's there. And if the person is there is the person I didn't vote for, they get blamed for everything. And if the person is there who I did vote for, well, nothing is their fault. So let's not do that. You know, if a train accident happens, let's try to figure out what happened. If a plane crash happened, let's try to figure out what happens. Let's not blame who happens to be there. You know what I mean? That's the kind of stuff that drives me crazy. And then, you know, I'm looking at the Constitution here. Is all kinds of really good stuff in here. You know, you ought to read it sometime. You know, you probably haven't looked at it since fourth grade, you know. Let's see. The First Amendment. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion. So now we've got, like, we're trying to pump money into, like, a religious charter school. I don't know. Separation of church and state is right there. Abridging the freedom of speech. Okay. We all agree with that one, I think, unless somebody says something we don't like. Freedom of the press. Well, 60 Minutes, they're getting sued because, you know, they said something that this administration didn't like. So I guess freedom of speech is being chilled if you're worried about getting sued. I know you like the Second Amendment. A well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Remember, a well-regulated militia. Okay, Amendment 3 doesn't really apply because it talks about soldiers in time of peace being quartered in a house. The Fourth Amendment, the right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, and no warrant shall issue but upon probable cause, supported by oath or affirmation, particularly describing the places to be searched and the things to be seized. The Fifth Amendment, no person shall be deprived of life, liberty, or property without due process of law. And, of course, people know the Fifth Amendment because the most popular part of the Fifth Amendment is that you cannot be compelled in any criminal case to be a witness against yourself. Remember, that's a criminal case. And no person can be subject to the same offense to be put twice in jeopardy of life or limb. So the double jeopardy clause. Amendment 6, criminal prosecutions. I underline criminal because not civil infractions, but you have a right to a trial. And have people testify against you. You can cross-examine. That's Amendment 6. Have a right to a trial, jury trial in criminal cases. Amendment number 8, excessive bail should not be required. And then there's the cruel and unusual punishment. Somebody said, oh, that person should be hung in the public square. Well, that's a violation of the 8th Amendment. Then you've got the 14th Amendment. All persons born or naturalized in the United States and subject to the jurisdiction thereof are citizens of the United States. So, I mean, this is the Constitution. This is, you know, and by the way, you know what else it says in the Constitution? Section 8 of Article 2. The Congress That's our elected representatives, our senators, our representatives, shall have the power to lay and collect taxes, duties, imposts, and excises, to regulate commerce with foreign nations. It appears to me that when you're talking about duties, that's a tariff. And regulate commerce with foreign nations. I mean, this guy's running around, put a tariff on, take the tariff off. To put the tariff on, take the tariff off. Now, whether or not you think it's good policy or not, it's not the issue. The question is, can one person make all these decisions, or is it supposed to be a consensus? I mean, the United States of America was supposed to come to consensus. We're supposed to have representatives and Congress and the Senate. But, of course, the thing's broken. You know, once they let money come into politics, you know, when they had that case that came down, Citizens United, that said giving money is free speech. Oh, so if you have $250 million, you have $250 million of speech. If you have two nickels to rub together, you only have two nickels worth of speech. So clearly a person who has, you know, that extra power because they have a big wallet, their speech is going to be heard more. And that's not right. They say, well, that's the public square. Well, at the public square, somebody that had $250 million couldn't yell $250 million louder than you yell. So to me, I think it's important that, you know, we got to get money out of politics because, you know, again, you're the senator from Wyoming and you're threatened with being primaried, they call it. And it happens on the Democratic side, too. You either vote with the party, whether it's the Democratic Party or the Republican Party. And if you don't, we'll just get somebody to run against you in the primary and say that you're a sellout and we get you knocked off. And so that's what happens. That's why, you know, the money in politics is really dangerous. And that's what's really, I think, hurt the process. But anyway, what do you think of all that? 508-996-0500. Again, I'm here for the first hour of the Ken Pittman Show. We had a lot of good topics in that first hour. I was talking about banning the cell phones. And although we don't have a ban throughout all the schools, because some schools have it and some don't, I think Dartmouth has it, but New Bedford doesn't. But there's a procedure by which the students can take the phones, put them in a pouch, and actually have the phones on them in case of an emergency. But during the class, they're locked away in this pouch. I can imagine that the pouch could be hanging off their belt or in their pants or whatever. And then in case of a real emergency, which is going to be rare, they're actually able to get to the phone. So to me, I think that's a reasonable way to do it. In other words, you can say, well, no phones at all. Well, I don't think you should say no phones at all in the building. But I do think being able to put them in a pouch and kind of locking them away and making that a statewide situation. And I think the proposal has now been made in the state of New Hampshire for the same thing. And so I think there's widespread agreement. I think this is one of those issues that crosses ideological lines, whether you're on the blue team or the red team or on no team. I think that we certainly can agree that there's been a negative impact of having these phones all the time. I mean, we're all kind of addicted to them, but I mean, if I'm in a classroom and I'm required to learn and pay attention to the teacher, you know, I can't be answering, you know, text messages. And I mean, my phone is like yours, right? Doesn't it go off like every 2 minutes? That's either a text message or an email or, you know, something's going on in social media. It actually drives you crazy sometimes. Sometimes I just want to put it, sometimes I do. I put it down and then I leave the room. And then when I come back an hour later, people are like, hey, you're there? What happened? You know, like if you don't answer somebody in 5 minutes, they think you're not listening to them or something, you know? Sometimes you just put the phone down and you answer an hour later or 2 hours later. What's wrong with that? And then in downtown New Bedford, the acting chief, Derek Belong, and the New Bedford police have cracked down on people being under the influence in downtown New Bedford and kind of misbehaving down there and, you know, mouthing off and acting inappropriately, especially upper downtown. And so 22 arrests were made. And it wasn't just the police going in there just arresting people. It was just the police going down there and saying, hey, you can't be trespassing here in the parking garage. You can't be trespassing here at the bus station. You can't be, you know, on the sidewalk here under the influence, which intimidates people, even if they're not bothering anybody. I mean, I've been down there. Nobody's really ever bothered me up until now, thank God. But, you know, being down there and being under the influence, if you come from out of town and that's what you see, I mean, it's going to be like, oh, wait a minute. That's not what you want to see. You want to put New Bedford in its best possible light. So I think everybody is kind of in agreement. The business owners down there probably reached out to the council and the mayor, reached out to the police and acting chief Derek Belong, and the police, they made a public statement saying that this is what they were going to do. But they also had mental health people with them and counselors. So it wasn't just like going around and arresting random people. It was like they went in there and tried to talk to them first, and you try to reason with people first, and maybe you catch them in a bad day or they're under influence or whatever. But these are people that are camping out down there getting drunk all the time. And it's a bad look. So we want to clear that out because that's beautiful down there. You know, you look at that block where the post office is and City Hall and Custom House Square. It's really nice down there. And then, of course, you go to the lower downtown where the Whaling Museum is, and you got the cobblestones and you got the restaurants. And it's really nice down there. And I know a good friend, Silverstein, is finishing up his Mexican place, which is the old National Club, which had some problems over the years. That's going to be overlooking the harbor. So that's going to be beautiful down there. And I think one of the places, I think it was New Beige, they ended up opening another spot down where the Sea Streak is. So there's a lot of good things happening down there. But yeah, you don't want to have, you know, the negative impact of people hanging around down there. So the police have kind of cracked down on that a little bit. We're glad to see that. And then the other thing is, right, not only the cell phone bans, but there's another issue that came up in the vocational schools. The vocational schools thought that the student body didn't represent all ethnic backgrounds and so forth. And to me, I think that one of the things you could do, rather than try to fix this at the end, if it turns out that a group is overrepresented, you don't try to punish the group that's overrepresented. What you try to do is help out the underrepresented groups by finding out what happened. Why didn't they get the ability to compete? Did something happen in the earlier stages of life? Bad parenting is certainly one. Socioeconomic challenges certainly is another. So you don't try to fix that in the ninth inning with two outs. You go back to the beginning and try to address it. But for the people who behaved properly, worked hard, got good grades, didn't get suspended, and they earn their way into Voc, they should be able to get in. It shouldn't be, well, we're going to take a bunch of spots. You know, we're going to do that first, but then we're just going to take a bunch of spots and throw ping pong balls around, and you get in by a lottery. I'm like, are you kidding me? By a lottery? That's a terrible idea. It's a terrible idea. Just because of a bounce of a ping pong ball determines whether your kid or my kid gets in? I mean, to me, you should be rewarding the good behavior. You should be rewarding the hard work of the kids who qualified to get in. And the kids who are not getting in, if there are certain backgrounds that are underrepresented, let's get in there early and find out why. Because if everybody has the same shot, everybody will be able to compete. And we want them to compete for those spots. Absolutely, 100%. But not with ping pong balls. Good morning. You're on the air.
Good morning, Paul. I worked downtown for close to 40 years. And they always had that problem over the bus terminal, but they just didn't. What they did was they picked up a lot of them and PC'd them, brought them back down the next day. You know, like the older people, I'm not going to mention any of the names because I think I know all of them from just coming into the stores. But they, it's not that bad. I love downtown. I used to live downtown too, and I really like.
Oh,
it
I
down
do
there.
Too. Yeah, I like downtown. And, absolutely.
Yeah, no one ever bothers me down there. A lot of people, they just, I don't know, but they should have. Like, I talked to somebody at the bus terminal the other day, and they said they're supposed to make a substation inside the snack bar there.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of small, but, I mean, that's what the, you know, 'cause I used to work in there, too. But we had a lot of people that were hanging around outside the door. I just told them, just go along. You know, you can't stand outside the door because they're waiting on people in here. And they would leave, and no problem. But, I don't know, a lot of people make a lot out of it.
Well, I will say
nothing's the same thing.
Well, I told you, yeah, what I said before in my early remarks, you know, and thank God I don't want that to change tomorrow. But up until now, most of the people that are down there, even the ones that, you know, maybe have had a nip or something like that, they've never really bother anybody. I mean, it's unsightly, you know what I mean? If you're coming from out of town and, you know, like people do get afraid when they see this situation. So if you have a business. Yeah. Right, you don't want people hanging around out the front door of your business because then you're going to lose business,
no,
right? So that's the issue, you know?
Right. And then there's a lot of halfway houses, and we used to close a snack bar and have like a Thanksgiving dinner just for them because they didn't have any place for any families to go to.
Yeah, no, I know.
Inside
sad.
The bus terminal. And, but, you know, a lot of them are homeless and they don't have any place to go. But it's, you know, it's usually the nips that they buy, which, did they get away with them? Yeah, I mean, it's, that's not a big deal. At least they didn't buy a big bottle.
Let me ask you a question. You know, so you say that they didn't make these, they did make these 22 arrests. A lot of them were put into protective custody, which for people that don't know, if you're under the influence and you could bring hop to yourself or somebody else, they can place you into protective custody. You're not being charged with anything.
But you go the next day.
Yeah, so the next day, you're saying the next day everybody was back there?
They're back there. Oh, yeah, they're back outside. And there were a lot of the older people that, there was one guy that was, he used to work at the college. What a shame. You probably know him. I'm not going to give his name.
Okay.
But he would sit in the doorway, but he would just say, "Hey, sweetheart, how you doing this morning?" And I'd say to him, I'd say, "Hey, want me to buy you a muffin or something?" And he'd say, "No, I'm all set." You know, he'd have his bottle with him, but there'd be a lot that would say, "Well, I'm going to get it later. You could just give me the money." And I'd say, "No, I'll get it for you right now.
Yeah.
I'll get it over here and I'll give it to you now." And it'd be that I worked in a liquor store for a little while. So they were first one in line. I said, "Oh,
well, so you were,
give you any money, buddy."
Hey, you know what? We were talking about, you know, some people that are hypocritical, but they're religious, but they're hypocritical. See, you were loving your neighbor as yourself. You were reaching out to somebody.
Exactly.
If somebody's hungry, you give them some food. Somebody's thirsty, you give them a drink. You know what I mean? That kind of thing. I mean, you won't want to be enabling, but you also want to follow, you know, those sort of moral teachings.
Right. Yeah. Right. And a lot of them, they would let me buy the muffin for them, and then I would give it to them outside. But, it's like,
Okay.
But it was... Okay.
All right. Well, thank you. Yeah. Thank you very much.
I like this show.
All right. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. 508-996-0500. You're a regular caller. Well, give me a call. You're a regular. You know what to do. You have no problem being on the radio. 508-996-0500. And if you've never called before or you're a rare caller, give me a call. Say hello. Let's have a little chat. Good morning. You're on the air.
Yes. Good morning. I've been listening to the discussion here on the telephones are a deterrent in teaching that I taught for a number of years. And the idea of using a lottery, you know what that is? That's just a quick fix without anybody wanting to take time to really figure out some good way of doing that.
Exactly.
It's just a quick fix. It's get the people off my back and let's do a quick fix. I did the vocational teaching for 27 years. I graduated from the vocational school. And I'm happy with my life. And it was a lot different then.
It just seems like it's horribly unfair and really, like, I don't know, just to have a lottery? I mean, what the heck is that?
No, it's just to keep the big mouth shut so that they can make somebody happy that's making a lot of fuss. They're not really thinking it out. That's not the way to do that. That's like saying, well, I need an operation. I'll just go down to the local store, buy a couple of Band-Aids and some alcohol, and I'm all set. I'll take care of it.
Now, you said you taught at what, New Bedford Volk?
No, Fall River.
Fall River. What shop did you teach?
I was the department head of the electronics department.
Oh, wow. Very nice. Yeah, good. I'll tell you, those vocational schools, I mean, I'm in my 60s now, so I can remember when, you know, the vocational schools had sort of like a very narrow appeal to it. Like if you didn't go to college, you went to the vocational schools. I'll tell you, these vocational schools, they are outstanding.
They sure are. I graduated from New Bedford Volk.
And
I'm the old Janiac.
Oh, Mr. Janiac. Oh, my boy. He was old school, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. Great I went man. To a banquet one time, and he made a speech, and he got like a standing ovation, and he was, you know, talking about respect and the old school work ethic and all this stuff. And I was like, wow, this guy, I didn't know who he was.
Always.
And then my dad was like, oh, that's Janiac. I said, wow, that was quite a speech, you know? Yeah. So, Don, did you work in that field, too, before you taught?
Yes, I did.
In the electronics field?
Yes, I did, and you know, did serve in the military also, same thing.
Oh, well, thank you for your service. Which one?
I was in the Army.
Army, okay, good, good, yes.
I was a radar computer specialist in the Army.
Well, radar guy, that's important. We got to know what's happening on the radar. Without the radar, we're really in trouble.
Yeah.
All right, well, thank you for the call. Have a great weekend. Yeah. All right, I don't remember hearing that person call before, so maybe somebody actually... You know, listen to me when I said, hey, if you've never called before or, you know, you call very infrequently, you know, give me a call. I'm going to be here till 10 o'clock filling in the first hour of Ken Pittman. And then we'll have 2 hours of the Best of Howie. And then we pick up with our regular schedule at 12 noon with Jose Matos, followed by Freedom Fools with Brian Thomas. But you've got me, Paul Santos, till 10. 508-996-0500. We'll be right back.
Like it's hot.
How about if you drop it like it's hot and give me a call at 508-996-0500? How about that? Yes, if you're hoping to have Ken Pittman, I'm sorry. Ken is not here this week. So I'm going to be filling in for the first hour, and then I have some other commitments later this morning. Otherwise, I might have just rode it right out till noon. But we don't want to have any overkill here. But I'll be here till 10, and then we pick up with the regular schedule after that. From 10 to 12 will be Howie Carr. All right, this is going to be a good call. Good morning. You're on the air.
Hi, Paul. How are you?
Now I can put a face to your voice. Yeah, we ran into each other the other day.
Yeah.
How are you?
Oh, I'm hanging in. Anyway, did you ever get a picture that day with Johnny Damon?
Yes, I did. I got a picture with Johnny Damon. I posted it on social media. And the picture came out great. You know, he was he had a big smile on his face. He had the World Series ring and... Yeah, that was fun. It was a really good picture with Johnny Damon.
Oh, good. Did you get the other picture, the big picture?
No, I just took one with my phone, you know.
I know. I didn't take the other picture either. I got in on the raffle.
So you took a picture with him too?
Yeah, it's okay. It didn't come out that good. I'm not too good with the phone.
Well, that Johnny Damon, he's a handsome devil, isn't he?
Oh yeah, I couldn't believe what a hunk he was. I had a crush on him at the Red Sox a long time ago.
Oh, when he was playing for the Red Sox, oh, the women just loved him. Oh my God, they used to say, "Oh, that guy's a hottie. He's so hot." Bah, bah, bah. Oh yeah, I remember the women going crazy over him.
He's naturally a big guy. Like it's like all muscle.
Mm-hmm.
He's all muscle. He's and it doesn't look like he lifts weights. It's just like natural.
Oh.
How about nationality? What is he? He said his father was in the military.
Yeah, I don't remember now what he was saying because I was paying attention. He was talking about baseball and, of course, playing for the Red Sox in the World Series. There's only one other player in the history of baseball that can say that they won a championship with both the Red Sox and the Yankees, and that other player is Babe Ruth. So he's in good company.
Oh, all right.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, he had his man bun on. He was cute. Everything was good. I liked it.
Yeah, I don't think I could pull off that man bun like that. That man bun, you know, there are only certain people that can pull that off. You know what I mean? Can you picture me in a man bun? Oh, my God.
No, not for you. You'd look like Meme. No, you're good the way you are, Paul.
Okay, all right. Well, thank you.
You look real good.
All right, thank you. Hang in there.
I wanted to ask you a question.
Yes.
What do you think about the Kevin Reed trial? What's your take on it?
You know, here's the interesting thing, right? I know it's really, really popular. People are following along, and they figure, oh, you're an attorney. You know, you should be following along. Yeah, the thing is like... For me to actually watch a trial, I mean, that's what I do. You know what I mean? Maybe I could have, but I haven't really been following it. But I will say there are people that are adamant that she's not guilty. I'm not so sure about that. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I'm not so sure about that. I'm definitely not pounding the table that she is not guilty. What about you? What do you think?
I think that those guys, well, I think she kind of was going around with those guys, that mm-hmm. group of guys, those mm-hmm. cops.
Yeah.
And I think they were all really blitzed. And they were arguing down the cellar there in the house. And, they carried on from them bars
mm-hmm.
to that house. And they were arguing. And I think when they were arguing, the dog went after his arm and started biting him. And then they were fighting, fist fighting. And one of them cops... got him good
mm-hmm.
and you know you only got to hit somebody in the head the wrong way and the alcohol thins your blood.
So you don't believe the cops?
No, are you kidding me? I think that they did it. And
well,
then why would you take everything out? Why would you clean everything up? Why would you change everything downstairs?
Well, here's a point I was trying to make last week, right? If those cops are doing things that are inappropriate, or maybe she's being framed or something like that. That's why we have due process. We can't take the cop's word for it. And that's the same thing with ICE. We can't take ICE's word for it. We have to make sure they got the right person.
But listen, she's going to probably walk, right?
Well, I don't know. Maybe. They got to prove her guilty beyond a reasonable doubt, you know? All right, I gotta let you go. I really enjoyed meeting up with you and running into you the other day, and thank you very much for the call. Call again.
I'll be listening. Thank you. Have a great weekend.
All right, you too. Good.
Bye, Paul.
Bye. Good morning. You're on the air. Hello?
Good morning.
Yes, how are you today?
Oh, I didn't hear the bell.
Oh,
am I on?
Yeah, good. I recognize your voice. I played, you didn't listen last week, but I played some Matt Anderson last week, you know?
Oh, nice.
Oh, you know, I went back and this gentleman called a couple of weeks back or whatever, and he's like, hey, Paul, check out Matt Anderson, you know? And in fact, I'll play some in a few minutes after you hang up. This gentleman saw him at the Narrows. You were right about him. He is awesome.
Incredible.
Yeah.
It's baffling that he's not an international. Well, he tours all around the world, but the man's song should be on the radio more.
Yeah.
There's a lot of talent out there, but the radio won't let you know about it.
Oh, there's a lot
that's
of talent.
Cool you listen to him.
You
listen to him.
Yeah.
Massive booming voice, great guitar playing, lots of soul.
Yeah.
Great music.
Yeah, I made a note, and then when I got home, I'm like, you know what, I'm going to listen, because I told you I don't like it when people say they're going to do something and then they don't do it. You know, it's like, oh yeah, I'll listen to them, and then they never do, right? So I figured I would do it, and yeah, I thought he was terrific. But anyway, did you have something on your mind this morning?
Whole mess of things.
Okay, go ahead.
Regulate, right? Regulate does also mean to put in condition to work properly,
mm-hmm.
well functioning. So, you know that what's going on right now, we're in the process of our country being completely morphed into something unrecognizable.
Mm-hmm.
And we're all wicked divided. So that's how it happens. When you're wicked divided.
United we stand, divided we fall.
Oh, you got that right. And divided we are going to fall. I think Trump is just an actor on a stage. He was just put in there to get things passed that the conservatives would never believe that they would actually allow to be passed. You know that none of those DOGE cuts were codified into law? None.
Well, that was the thing. I mean, it wasn't so much that there isn't waste in government, but it really is Congress that makes the appropriations and puts it into law. The president's
all a smoke show.
Yeah, he's not supposed to do that by himself, you know?
You know what they did do, though? They passed the ban that the states cannot regulate artificial intelligence for 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
So they're basically going to be in the next 10 years building up a nice surveillance system, a nice digital prison for us. But the good thing is that all of our chains that are going to hold us and all of the AI robots that'll be dominating us, they're all going to be made in the USA. So I guess that's good.
Well, you know, the artificial intelligence, that just scares the hell out of me, because the degree to which the technology is growing exponentially way faster than man's wisdom. And so you see these horror movies from the 1950s and 60s, and I'm like, wow, this is not far-fetched at all.
Industrial Revolution changed humanity because it enabled use tools so that physical labor was eased.
Yeah.
Helped physicality. What this digital computer wireless revolution is going to do is it's going to turn people's brains into mush.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to become addicted on completely useless stuff. And I think in the process, they're going to lose their basic humanity. And that's what's happening to us.
All right. Okay, I hope you're wrong, but you make a persuasive case.
Randy Fine, he's a congressman from Florida. He was on Fox News the other day. Mm-hmm. Fox News is basically just an Israeli propaganda network now. They're just as bad as MSNBC. He's on Fox News, and they're all applauding. He's basically saying that Gaza should be nuked.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's too far the other way.
Anti-Semitism.
Yeah.
This anti-Semitism nonsense, that they're trying to take away free speech all based on a certain group that can't be offended. What's happening now is that we're getting to feel sorry for the people that are committing the genocide and hating on the people that are being genocided.
All right. All right. Well, I appreciate your call, and we'll slip in some Matt Anderson.
All right, cool.
All right, thank you very much. 508-996-0500. I think that he does make a point that, you know, you can be critical of the Israeli government. You can say, hey, you know, Netanyahu is going overboard, you know, and all this. And that's not anti-Semitic. You know what I mean? It's like if you're criticizing Donald Trump, or you're criticizing Joe Biden, or you're criticizing Kamala Harris, or you're criticizing Barack Obama, that doesn't mean you're anti-American, you know. So I think you should be able to separate that out. Now, I'm going to go to this break. Please hang on if you're on the phone. I'm not sure this break is properly queued up because this is not my hour. But let's see what happens when I hit this button. So let's do that right now, and we'll be right back on WBSM.
I was like a piece of coal buried deep in the ground, like no coal, like soul.
What a voice on this guy, huh? Matt Anderson. That last caller called me a couple of weeks ago and said, hey, Paul, check out Matt Anderson. And I try not to do things like, oh, yeah, I'll check it out and then blow him off and never do it. So I made a note. I went home. I played Matt Anderson. Yes, he appeared at the Narrows in Fall River, and that caller really liked him. So I listened to him. I'm like, wow, that caller is right. He does a version of Ain't No Sunshine. Just fantastic. That grovelly voice. And if you look at him, he's got long hair, little heavy, got a guitar, and he just knocks it out of the park. I love those raspy voice singers anyway. That's sort of like a style that I like. So Matt Anderson, good recommendation from that caller. Hello, you're on the air.
Yeah, hi, Paul.
Yes.
Yeah, hi. I just want to say I'm a first-time caller.
Oh, good.
To your program, and I enjoy it very, very much.
Thank you.
It breaks it up, a little humor, a little everything, and it's really good to hear. And that's the same thing that how I feel about politics. I'm an independent voter, but I like to listen to both sides, and then you make an opinion. I think too many people, if you are an R or a D, that's all you're seeing, and it's like, you know, let's just sit back, listen to both sides, and sometimes you can pick out good on both sides. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no question about it. I agree with you 100%. I don't really care to listen to like a one-sided conversation. That caller talked about, you know, Fox News or MSNBC or CNN. I don't watch any of them. I mean, I did many years ago, and then I realized I'm watching like a 24-hour commercial, you know, that's giving you one side, and that's it, you know?
Right. That's all it is. And then if I get a second, I like to talk about President Trump.
Okay.
Again, independent voter. He wasn't my choice, but when he got elected, I figured, hey, let's give him the benefit and let's see what he can do for this country and all that. And what I'm seeing is the Trump organization just making money hand over fist, no matter where they go. Okay, all of a sudden we're going to put a hotel on the golf course here. And it's like you sit back and you say, is that what you think of the president? I mean, even now I'm a veteran, he's going to build a golf course and a hotel in Vietnam.
Mm-hmm.
He's making a deal with something, so okay, now you're going to put a hotel there. And it's like, don't people just sit back and say, is this what you think that the president should be?
Well, he just had a fundraiser, right? He had 20 people, and just 20 people, they raised like millions and millions and millions of dollars, just 20 people.
It's incredible.
Yeah, these people don't have, they would squash all of us like bugs. They have so much power, you know?
It's true when you say, yeah. Are you really looking after me, the guy living in New Bedford?
No.
Are you looking after your rich friends? And it's like, it's not that I'm against Republicans. Believe me, I'm an independent voter. But when you see this, you just say, doesn't people see this too? Now, he'll make fun of, say, okay, we talked before, listen to your program, Bruce Springsteen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that he said this and all that. But how many times have we heard Trump knock people down,
call them
names? Have you ever heard any president in our lifetime saying that this people is stupid and this people are that? You know, even though they had a way about him, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, the presidency should be. How about when he called the guy Lion Ted? We heard Lion Ted, Ted Cruz, Lion Ted, Lion Ted, Lion Ted. Now Lion Ted is there, like, supporting him. Imagine that. If I called you a liar for, like, 2 years straight, you wouldn't think very highly of me, you know?
No, the same thing with Marco Rubio.
Yeah, little Marco with the little hands and all that.
You know, and it's like, and now these people bow down. And it's like, your senators and congressmen, hey, come on, just speak, you know. Sit back and think of the average guy. Is this going to help the average guy or not?
Yeah.
And unfortunately, I don't see that. I'm hoping it changes because I believe you, like I say, give everybody a chance. But right now, I'm very disappointed in how things are, Bob.
All right. Well, I appreciate that you're a first-time caller, and don't be a stranger. And thank you for your service in the armed services.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
All right. Hello, you're on the air.
What a great call. That was like a true, to me, a regular guy, you know, speaking from his heart. That was a really good call.
Yeah,
a
regular guy. Yep.
You know, because I see the same thing he sees, you know. There's a lot of things. I argue with people all the time about politics, especially right now. And I often tell them, I go, you know, I never hear any of you right-wing people ever say, you know, that he's wrong about anything.
Mm-hmm.
Or you don't like what he said or did.
You know what bothers me about this president? This president, I've never seen the kind of worship that we have. Like, when I think of all the presidents, like, I think when I was a little kid, I think I remember Lyndon Johnson, and then there was Nixon, and Ford, and Carter, and Reagan, and Obama, and all the way through. And so, yeah, some of them I voted for and agreed with most of them. Sometimes I didn't agree with them. Sometimes the one I voted for I didn't agree with. But, you know, I never really, like, worshipped any of them, you know what I mean? Like,
right.
This guy, you say one thing about him, people actually go ballistic, you know?
Yeah, and even when he's off kilter, you know, like the other day, and what he tells these trade, what Trump is doing is he's controlling the narrative of America. You know, he's killed the media. He took over the FBI. He took over the DOJ. Took over the Supreme Court. He's got the House. Even, you know, people that come into, journalists that come into the White House, if they ask the wrong question, he immediately, you know, you suck. You're a lousy journalist.
Yeah, right.
You shouldn't be a journalist if he doesn't like what they asked. I've never I'm 72 years old, and I'm a Vietnam vet. I've never heard or seen. And then, like you just said, the worship behind it. It's like.
Yeah. Well, thank you for your service, by the way.
Thank you. You could show somebody like different things, good and bad, and they'll never ever yield and go, yeah, that ain't right. You know, I mean, case an example. I don't know if you remember this, but when he was debating Biden, it was $25 million, I think it was, from the Saudis. And he was going, you should be ashamed of yourself. Mm. You should give that money back. Those people are terrorists. The way they treat their people, their women, and the gay people, and he went on a rant about how the Saudis and were just the worst people in the world. And then he's right over there taking gifts from them and worshiping them.
Well, you don't have to do it.
Don't they see that, though?
Well, after you hang up, look what Trump said about Robert F. Kennedy. He said he was a bum, he was a liar. In fact, he said if he was president, he'd be worse than Biden. That's how bad Robert F. Kennedy is. So then Robert F. Kennedy was like, oh, you know what? I'll join Trump. Trump's a gay guy. Oh, Robert F. Kennedy, he's smart. He's this. He's that. You just said 5 minutes ago that he was a bum. What are you talking about?
Yeah, and you know, and if you brought that to their attention,
oh my God,
it's almost like they act like it, you know, it doesn't happen.
Yeah, I mean,
just
look.
Like just like the tariffs, right? You know, 150% tariffs, right? Then it's 30 days. Then it goes back to 90 days. Then it's 10. Then it's 25. Right, you know, that's just a strategy that he's using. If it stood at 150, it's the good strategy. But if it drops down to 20, it's it's kind of like.
Well, I don't know if you remember when I think it was Hillary, and again, I'm not a big fan of Hillary myself, but when Hillary was running, she said that they asked, "Well, you're gonna," she said something about that she would talk to these dictators. You know, if she had to in order to make a deal, this and that. Oh, they ripped her up. Well, you're going to talk to a dictator? How dare you talk to a dictator? Kim Jong-un's a bum, and this one's a bum, and you can't be talking to them. What the hell are you talking about? You can't be talking to them. And then this guy gets in. He's talking about Kim Jong-un. He had a love affair with him. He's a great guy.
Yeah.
It's like, it would be funny if it wasn't the presidency. You know what I mean?
I know.
They should have given Trump his own late-night talk show. I think he would have been great.
I know. It's almost... And even when it comes to crimes, like, I got an argument with a guy the other day about the insurrection, right?
Yeah.
And I'm going, like, if other people, you know, he was telling me that the FBI was involved with the insurrection. They were right among those people
Yeah, the FBI, the FBI dressed up like Trump supporters.
Yeah.
Put the water buffalo hat on and everything, you know?
Right.
That's ridiculous.
First it was Antifa, you know, it was like, they got off that real quick when they realized that, you know, yeah, these people, Antifa people are not going to go in there to undo something that they're trying to stop, you know?
I appreciate the call. I'm on right. every Saturday for a couple hours, so if you're a non-regular right. caller, call again.
All right, buddy. Take care.
All right. Again, when the president comes up with a good idea, you know, we'll back it up. I mean, again, he's my president. I'm not one of these people like, oh, he's not my president. Well, yeah, he is. He's my president, you know. and the last president was my president, and the president before that was my president, you know. So believe me, I got my issues with the people on the other side. But I did want to point out, I am involved in a couple of other things. I have a sports podcast called Santos on Sports. And if you go to Facebook or YouTube, you type in Santos on Sports. It's a fun time with my good friend Chris Santos. He is a very knowledgeable sports guy in the area. And him and I go back and forth about different topics. And it's a lot of fun. And it's something that we really enjoy. So check that out. And then I also have my television show. Now, my television show is absolutely nothing like this show here. It's sort of like the old Johnny Carson show, you know. I try to make it like the old Johnny Carson show where we come out and we have like a fun little monologue and we have regulars. I have a sidekick. I have a little band like Johnny had Doc Severinsen and Dave Letterman had Paul Schaefer. And I've got my own band on the side there like Jay Leno had and everything like that. And then we have comedians. Every week I have one comedian. I have one singer and I have one person of interest. And it makes a very interesting show. Now you can get it. You can go to Facebook and YouTube and check it out if you want to do it that way. The other thing you can do is the show airs every Wednesday night, 8 o'clock on Channel 95, New Bedford, Dartmouth, Haven, and Acushnet, all of the surrounding towns. So again, Channel 95, Wednesday nights, 8 o'clock on Channel 95. And then it also airs every other Sunday morning on Channel 6. Now, I'm having a hard time keeping that up because that's a lot of work, but I take one of the better shows, edit it down a half an hour, and we put it on ABC 6 every other Sunday morning at 10:30, right before the Catholic Mass. And we have a regular that's on the show. His name is Jim Casey. Jim Casey is a regular listener to Ken Pittman. He could be listening right now. I don't know if he's driving around or whatever. But we call Jim Casey Crazy Casey. And he's almost like a Foster Brooks. He has a couple of drinks, and then he comes on at the end, and he's absolutely hilarious. So the other day during my opening monologue, I had some fun with Jim Casey. Here's a little excerpt from the Paul Santos Live television variety show. All right, let's start out with some news items if we could. You know, we have a new Pope. That's right, Pope Leo XIV. Yeah, imagine that. Wow. Hey, I know we're fighting an economic war with China with the tariffs and all that, but at least the Pope is made in America.
No tariff.
You know, I'm really glad they picked Leo XIV. You know who came in a close second? Pope Casey I. Just think. It would have been the first pope ever spending all his time in confession.
He needs more time in confession.
where's the drummer I keep hearing?
Oh, that's on the keyboard. Imagine if Casey was pope. It's like, hey, we got to say midnight mass. So wait a minute, I'm not done in confession yet. All right, having some fun there, the Paul Santos Live TV show. So a lot like the original Johnny Carson show, this little excerpt of the monologue. And I gotta tell you, I'm not a professional comedian. Believe me, people know that I'm an amateur. And we do the show every week, except not this Monday because it's a holiday. But generally, we record the show Monday nights at Mikey B's, 7 to 8. And a lot of people have come by, and I appreciate the people that come by, especially the regulars, but even some people that come occasionally. And, you know, we tape the show right there, so it's in a restaurant setting, so we have that live studio audience effect. But we try to bring back the old shows because I miss them. I miss them. And the ones that are there now, I mean, a little too political for me. You know, 11:30 at night, you know, they're going off on politics all the time. I mean, Johnny would make fun of, say, like President Ford, and then he'd make fun of Carter, and he kind of make one quip back and forth, and you never really knew where he stood. So that's what I thought was great about the old shows. The new shows, it's all political all the time. You know, I mean, Jimmy Kimmel does a good monologue, but it's very political. Jimmy Fallon, same kind of thing. Colbert, he's very political. You know, of course, the Fox one, it's not really like the traditional late night talk show. So I tried to bring back the original Johnny Carson type format, and it's been so much fun to be involved in that. Now the radio show, and still practicing law a little bit, but kind of semi-retired. My granddad now got Samuel Santos, who is now talking up a storm and knows his alphabet and knows his numbers. And my wife is the Nana, and she's a former teacher, so she's teaching him all kind of stuff. And then I've got my granddaughter, Summer, who's, let's see, she is something like 8 months old, 9 months old, starting to crawl around. She's very, very close to standing up, and she's waving her arms and smiles all the time. And you know what? She thinks I'm funny. So, but anyway, so we tape the show every Monday night at Mikey B, so I have to write a monologue every week. Every week I have to write a monologue. So I took a YouTube class, how to write jokes off of headlines, and that's what we do. And then we have the bing bang that kind of helps us in the background. But we always have a professional comedian, always have a local singer, and we'll be back, not this Monday, but a week from Monday. But if you want to catch the show, it's on YouTube, Facebook. You got to type in Paul Santos Live Show. Make sure you put the show at the end, because I was hacked a while back. And if you put Paul Santos Live, it goes to my old site. So Paul Santos Live Show, if you want to flip through there and catch some of the old shows. Well, I'm all done for today. I had my 2 hours plus an hour of the Ken Pittman Show. Ken's off today. We're going to have a couple of hours of the Best of Howie. And then at noontime, Jose Matos, followed by Freedom Fools with our great libertarian, Mr. Brian Thomas. So I'm Paul Santos. I'll be back here next Saturday at 7.